Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
Is this near you?
Yeah, it's like it's about an hour away from my house.
How fun.
So, yeah.
Cool. You'll be over there jamming, and everybody else will be just like doing something else, and then you'll be playing pinball.
Yeah.
Indoctrinate some people.
Yeah.
Everyone will be like dancing and celebrating at the reception. She'll just be playing pinball the whole time.
Like, where's Bree?
Why are you here?
I think they have a Killer Instinct machine, so Indri and I are totally going to rock out to that for a little while in our fancy dress.
Speed run that divorce, huh?
We played so much Killer Instinct when we were still living apart. That was one thing that we could do online together on Xbox, and we played so much. I wore out like two controllers. It was crazy.
Oh geez,
I ruined the bumper on one of my controllers, and the right bumper, because I think that's the special. But yeah,
very good. Then you can there'll be consummation of the marriage. No, wait. No, cake table. That's I'm looking up C words for wedding because I'm trying to Killer Instinct this shit. Ceremony. That doesn't work at all.
Ultra awkward. What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I'm your host, Joe. Aki's here. Bree's here. Jacob's here. Grant Henry is here. How is everybody doing?
Great.
Woo.
Woo. Just a woo out of you.
Well, I also like kind of coughed as I said it. So.
Oh well, cough didn't come through, thankfully.
Yeah.
It was good. It worked out for us. Worked out in the long run. How's everybody's week?
Good until last night.
Till last night.
Yeah, that's when I started getting sick.
Oh, bummer. No good. That was me
last
week.
Got them allergies.
Yeah, my allergies. First time I've ever had them this bad. When I get allergies, it's usually just sniffles. Feels like I have strep throat. Everything burns.
You might have strep throat.
I don't go out and interact enough with people to get it.
That you know of. You sleepwalk?
No.
How do you know?
Because if I tried to sleepwalk, I'd probably break my legs, because I sleep on a bunk bed, actually.
You'd be amazed at the things people could do sleepwalking. It is very scary.
I am uncoordinated, though.
Okay, that's fair.
I have trouble getting up and down that bitch while conscious, so yeah, no.
She would, like, plot to murder someone in her sleep, but instead she would, like, end up cutting the power to half the country.
And electrocute myself somehow, yeah, probably.
And no one will ever know it was you.
Yep.
Get away with it.
I will share one crazy, crazy thing that just happened. We had a pretty decent sized earthquake last night, and I've been through a handful of them since I've lived here, you know, and like it's like shake, and then it goes away. This was like 1:30 in the morning, rattled the house, like shook that, like someone was shaking the house for a good 5-6 seconds. It broke like Claire has these little crystals and stuff. One fell over and broke or whatever, but it was mostly just kind of like pictures crooked. But yeah, I went on the little Facebook, you know, neighbor group, and it's mostly people generally pretty, you know, there are just a bunch of old people in there, but someone was like, what the fuck, is everyone okay? was the post. And it was enough to shake things up. Like, and we were 1 mile from the epicenter. It was like four, I was like a 4.6. So it's not huge, but we were close. We were like right here. So yeah, it was interesting. Wow. And then we and power didn't go off or anything. No problem. So we just like went back to sleep. But apparently anyone that had a dog had a problem for the rest of the night. Dogs did not appreciate it. But yeah, so we got shaken up a little yesterday. I've been finding little things today that have that fell over, but no like real problems. But yeah, it's a weird feeling. If you haven't experienced that, I have
never experienced one. I have allegedly been through some. We've apparently had some in this area, but never to the point that I've noticed them.
Sure.
Like if you didn't know they were happening, you'd be like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, just because you're even, I mean, someone, and it just depends on where the ripple is. Like, you might be, you know, a few blocks from someone else, and you may feel it and they not, you know, that kind of thing, just depending on how far you are. But yeah, it was a doozy. Claire went through the big 89 San Francisco earthquake, and so she experienced that whole thing. So she's a little wary of them, but it's also kind of a natural thing here, and it's kind of good that they happen with more frequency. So I'll take it.
Yeah. More earthquakes are good.
Yeah. Well, it relieves smaller pressure. Ones. Relieves pressure,
I guess.
You know.
Yeah.
Anyone else been through earthquakes?
I had a couple really, really small ones over the years, but nothing major, nothing close. I had my first major tornado sirens tonight, though. That was
ooh,
scary.
Those are
mazel tov.
Yeah, I know.
I've slept apparently through a small earthquake. So says my grandparents.
Have you also slept through tornado sirens?
Oh yeah, I've done that a lot. Yeah.
Have you slept through tornadoes?
Not in my area, but yeah, I've slept through tornadoes being in other places.
Like fucking Twister in the Eye of the Storm. She's just in bed.
Figure of God.
Blanket.
Freaking Twister.
Jacob, what about you? Any earthquakes?
Yeah, I was in Lancaster County got hit by one when I was in seventh grade, and I was awake for that. I hit my head on my bookshelf. That was
wow.
That explains the brain damage. Okay.
Before or after?
During.
Oh, okay.
Like I was getting out of bed to begin with, and my bookshelf was like right next to my bed, and like just like the house shook, and I hit my head against it, and I was like, "Ah!"
Did the books comedically fall upon you in a pile?
No, it was like the side of the bookshelf.
Oh, that's bullshit.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry, I didn't get hurt more.
Should be.
I know Aki's disappointed by that. But and then there were a couple of times living up in Nipah that stuff had happened. Like there were a couple of earthquakes, but I don't remember anything specific about when they were.
I live here, and it's still weird to hear you say Nipah.
Why?
Is it like I don't know any other person in the world who says it.
Oh,
as opposed to what? Like as opposed
just to Northeast Pennsylvania.
Oh,
yeah, Nipah.
Oh. No, oh, gotcha.
Like, is it a thing or is it just like
a you thing? It's a thing. No, it's a thing.
I've legit never heard it before.
Oh, it is.
I wasn't sure if like you made it. Like my brother made up. You have the elbow. The other side is called the crelbow.
Elbow.
Oh, hell no.
Elbow and crelbow. The inside. Yeah, that's the crelbow.
Huh.
Yeah, he made that up when he was like 5, and it's the only thing that I felt is provided worth to my life.
At least there's something.
Yeah, something.
Yeah.
That's something, all right.
maybe it wasn't an earthquake. Maybe it was all of the bad reviews for the Mario movie dropping. That's what actually shook the house. That's what it was yesterday.
Oh,
they've been bad.
They have not been kind.
No.
Doesn't matter. I'm going to see it on Saturday. It's my birthday weekend. And I want to go see that movie. And then I want to go have a really nice dinner and complain about it. That's what I want.
Birthday.
tomorrow.
Oh, happy birthday, buddy.
Thank you.
Hey, birthday show. It's my birthday show. Happy birthday. I kind of forgot. It's my birthday show, guys. What's up? I'll be check giving your you DMs guys
later. I'll send you a picture of my titties.
Oh, shit. Just both of them. Damn. What a birthday. Shit.
Yay. So speaking of jokes, should we talk about the new
yeah.
Let's do it.
Brie, you said you had a nice little wrap up of April Fool's gag news, yes?
Yeah, I did. I found some, I don't know, I thought they were kind of wholesome, honestly, that I thought I would share that were video game related.
Do you have the No Man's Sky one?
No.
They were like, we have an exciting new direction, and it was like paid season pass, pay to win mechanics, loot boxes, subscriptions, basically everything you don't want in a game. They're like, coming soon.
That's awesome.
Oh, wow.
That's good.
That is good. No, our friends at Silesia Games said they were going to stop making cat games and replace them with frogs. All affected cats were given 3 months worth of canned food as severance. I thought that was a cute way to help promote their new hidden frog game, Find My Frogs. It's coming out on April 14th. They had a cute little graphic with it.
As someone who likes frogs, I'd have been okay with that, actually.
Well, you're getting a frog game, though.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Stern Pinball announced a table based around The Room.
Tommy Wiseau's that's not real. Movie.
It's a whole thing. Real. Yeah. IGN showed a trailer for Potato Simulator, which is very real. And then they also showed a trailer. Yep. Potato Simulator is real. It's coming out sometime this year. And
is it based
and then
on
they
like
showed
cat potato.
It is not. It's like an Idaho potato.
Oh, that's bullshit.
Yeah. Then they also showed a trailer for a PlayStation Project Playmo, an AI controller that will play for you, trash text for you, and even order pizza against your will. That was their April Fool's joke today.
I wanted to order pizza against my will.
Well, I mean, that was kind of the idea that it was going to do all these things for you. So it ordered too much pizza in the trailer.
Jacob's joke was that. It's always his will to get pizza.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Future Labs Power Wash Simulator 2 announced Date the Dirt, a power wash dating sim where different kinds dirt like grime and dust are anthropomorphized and available to date, along with Chuck the Gnome come to life. If you didn't know, apparently the gnome's name is Chuck now, and grime is hot, just saying. Let's see. A smaller company, ES Digital Games, makers of Unusual Findings, proclaimed they were canceling all upcoming releases to work on a live service title called Loading Screen Simulator, featuring 500 plus unique loading screens and dynamic progress bars that may or may not move, with premium edition that offers slightly faster loading time and DLSS5 support.
Sweet.
Yep.
Get them visuals.
Hitman announced Hostile Area Integration Resource, or HAIR for short, and showed a bunch of hair clips over Agent 47 and different hairstyles you can disguise him in. They were pretty ridiculous.
Any of them good on him?
No. No.
Oh, shame.
No, yeah. And then, let's see, I got two more. PM Studios announced Table Flip Simulator coming to PC and consoles May 21st. It is very real, and I want it. It is very real, and I want it. So, yeah.
We used to have table flipping for charity at MAGFest, and what they would do is they would have you pay or items to put on the table any way you want, and then you flip the fucking table.
That's pretty good.
There was also a special table that people were working on a puzzle on, and if you paid like $100, you got to flip that table mid-puzzle, and then they have to pick the pieces up.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
It was fun.
They should have had somebody setting up like an elaborate train set.
Oh, geez. Yeah, right.
Also, going back to Bree's story about the power wash thing, yes, grime is in fact hot.
Yeah.
Like, Aki, if you haven't gone to look,
you should look it up.
Because there is also definitely like a muscle mommy character as well.
Candy. Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. So, yeah, you should go check out that trailer. And then in normal Goat Simulator fashion, they made an announcement on April 1st that Goat Sim 3 is now available with all DLC on Switch 2. And then they added a new Buck to the Future pack available on all platforms, previous and new. It has, like, Terminator references and Portal references and all sorts of crazy zany stuff. in Goat Sim 3 fashion. Yay.
Yay.
But yeah, those are the ones I found. Did anybody else find any cool April Fool's stuff?
Not gaming ones. There was the one that was about, there were two that I found that were like super well done. Like they look like real articles till the very end and they were like, check your calendars. I always hate the ones that bail out early and they don't write a full article. But the one was about AMD buying Intel. And then the other one was about TSA starting next year, they're going to require all carry-ons be clear.
I heard about like that.
All games, and it was quite a good article. And they even showed like all the different products that like Samsonite and everybody were starting to manufacture. And they were like these photoshops of rolling bags, but were completely transparent, and they had really stupid names. It was actually a pretty good article. I think it actually got some people because you know TSA News is you can believe anything now. But those were pretty good. But other than that, I didn't stumble into too much. Some dumb videos. Oh, well, there's like a phone reviewer that I really like that reviewed the Bluey phone. Like it was like a premium piece of tech. It was actually pretty fun. But
how did that go?
Great. I mean, it's got a 1.5 inch LCD display with no backlight. Surprised to no backlight in 2026. And you know, it was basically treating it like a minimalist phone. Like it was so minimalist, it doesn't even have an antenna. It was actually pretty good. But I look forward to April Fool's articles because some people go hard.
I look forward to it in a sense every year. Like, I don't look forward to the bad ones or the intentionally bad ones. The people who still try to have fun with it in a fun way, not in a malicious way.
Yes.
Totally. Yeah. Give me that stuff.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
100%.
Like, pretty much everything Bree said. All those jokes
they were all pretty wholesome. Fun. Yeah, yeah.
Or that No Man's Sky one I saw.
It's pretty good. There's a pinball
service, internet required.
There's a pinball gal that I follow. She makes YouTube shorts and she posted about the Room pinball machine. And she's like, I know it's a joke, but I'm just still excited for it. And she showed like all her The Room memorabilia. She had like signed posters. She showed her Tommy Wiseau underwear. She showed her like,
wow,
like she went as Tommy Wiseau for Halloween. She's like, I'm legit disappointed. I wanted this to be real. But I thought that was pretty good. Some people are very much into The Room. That's fine.
That is impressive.
Yeah.
That's very impressive. Anyone have any good jokes? Anybody else? Penis jokes? No, not your face.
Not those kind of jokes.
Something we could talk about that wasn't a joke last week. We'll recover it now. And so we got some more voices on. But the PlayStation 5 went up in price this week. The PS5 went from $549 to $649. Digital from $499 to $599. Pro from $749 to $899. And even the Portal from $199 to $249.
It's crazy.
6 years crazy into the console life cycle, and we're going up in price. What the hell?
Yep.
Yeah.
This is
capitalism. See, the market's working, obviously.
Oh, yeah. I don't know it's just capitalism. It's like, all the shortages and AI.
It's all RAM stuff now. It's like we're past the tariff stuff. It's all AI trash, which is just
greed. Straight up greed.
Well, they got to sell consoles. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know where the line is for, there's that, what is like supply and demand, but something tells me $900 bucks 6 years later isn't that good. I don't think they ideally want to make it that price, but hey, here we are.
And there's all this like greed. There's a very simple way to prove that it's definitely partially greed. Anytime something went up, shit goes back down in price. But when things go up, they don't go back down. Like, we're already seeing drops in RAM right now because that AI company is getting butt fucked every which way. But nothing that relies on any of that stuff is going down at all. Because once it goes up, it just stays up. Because the company now realizes, hey, people are going to spend this money. We'll just leave it here. Same reason why food has never really dropped back down in prices after it gets, about doubled. Because farmers aren't getting paid anymore. The truckers driving it ain't getting paid anymore. So
you don't think a $2.99 snack wrap is totally quality compared to the 69-cent crunch wraps we had back in the day?
No, no, I do not. Especially when it's half the size.
I agree in every possible way.
Yeah, I used to eat five-layer burritos. That shit was my jam over at Taco Bell. Those things now cost over $3 a fucking pop, and they're half the size of what they used to be. I'm like, no.
It's not just inflation. It's not just shrinkflation. It's both of them together.
Yeah.
Gotta love
it. It's horrific, is what it is.
On the bright side, PlayStation's trying to make up for it with a really, really good month for PlayStation Plus. They are getting Lords of the Fallen, the new one, the new good one, Tomb Raider 1 through 3 Remastered, and Sword Art Online Fractured Daydream.
Hmm. Very nice. Those are some damn good games.
They are some damn good games. Game Pass news, we'll have more info on that next week because that's when Xbox does stuff. But we found out we are getting NBA 2K26 tomorrow. So it should be up by the time you're hearing this on Ultimate and Premium.
Cool.
Yep. And then we'll get the arrivals next week again, like I said, but we know what's leaving Game Pass on the 15th. We're losing Ashen, Ayuden Chronicle, 100 Heroes, Grand Theft Auto 5 in all of its variants, My Little Pony, A Zephyr Heights Mystery, and Terra Invicta for the PC.
Damn.
Well, if you're losing My Little Pony, I don't know what's the point of even owning a console anymore.
I mean, we'll find out on Tuesday if they have something to replace it.
Yeah.
Won't be quality.
What if it's another outright game?
Better than My Little Pony? I think not.
Okay. Well, that's it for this episode. Thanks, everybody.
I haven't harassed Stevie in a while. I'll go do that now.
Last bit of news I have, Crimson Desert is now up to 4 million copies sold.
Nice. Yeah, nice.
So still hearing mixed reviews about that one.
It is climbing in sales, even with mixed comments.
Yeah, the most recent stuff I've heard is that if once you really kind of get past any chance of them trying to tell a story, like past all the beginning parts of the game, mm-hmm. it really does open up and get pretty cool. But it is very much a make your own fun kind of game, not a let this game guide you kind of experience. So I don't know. I'm not touching it, but that's what I hear. And some of the footage of the mid game stuff looks really cool. I don't know. Looks like it's got some Breath of the Wild DNA in there and magic stuff.
I will get to it eventually. I swear I will get to it eventually.
Yeah, are you planning on playing it? I haven't talked to y'all since it came out.
I would like to, but I have been putting a lot of time into one of our review games tonight. And I didn't even get it for review. I've just been playing the shit out of it to play the shit out of it.
Oh, that's fun.
What game is it?
Dragonkin the Banished.
Oh, cool.
The Diablo way, so it just scratches every itch I want it to.
Including your jock itch?
Yeah. Yep. Balls are feeling great.
Probably cheaper than buying Gold Bond.
Yeah.
No?
No, maybe?
Yeah, I guess so. Aki, what kind of news do you have? Aki?
Jinx.
Did we lose her?
Did we lose Aki? Bree, what news do you have?
Succumb to the allergies.
Let's see. Xbox is having free play days again this weekend, and I normally wouldn't bring that up, except that it's like all the Xbox One and newer Assassin's Creed games, like all of them.
I heard Unity, it was a bunch of Syndicate. Assassin's Creed stuff. That's cool.
It's like Valhalla is in there. Yeah, and I thought that was kind of cool. Mirage is only a 2-hour trial, but the others you can play as much as you like. So I thought that was cool. The free-to-play game Rec Room is shutting down June 1st. If you haven't already made an account, you won't be able to. They've disabled that, so you won't be able to get the easy achievements out of it. But there is like one really grindy achievement that'll be really hard to get before shutdown at this point. So I don't know what they're going to do about that. Maybe some bonus XP.
I thought true achievement said like you wouldn't be able to get it at this point.
Yeah, unless you have significant progress. It's you have to level 50. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
I played some of that. It was fun. Rec Room was cool.
Yeah, it's kind of Robloxy.
I don't know if I ever played it or not.
It had a lot of easy achievements right at the front, and I think that's what drew a lot of people to it. But there's that one level 50 achievement just sucks. It was always fun having like open mics on with a bunch of teenagers trying to talk smack, and it was just terrible.
Oh jeez.
Yeah. But some of the stuff was pretty fun. You could play like paintball and things like that. It was cool. This was announced 2 weeks ago, but it just came across my feed because Neil Newbon, the actor behind Asterion in Baldur's Gate 3, has commented, commending Embark for replacing AI voice acting with human voice acting in ARC Raiders.
That's
so they are going back to fix that. That was, I think, one of the big complaints about the game is that they use some AI voices and that were trained on real actors that were paid. But so they're going back and fixing that. So I thought that was cool.
Good on them.
The Last of Us Online mode was about 80% complete, and it has been revealed that Naughty Dog has scrapped the nearly 7 years of work on the project like a day before their big reveal.
Oh my god.
So that's a whole thing, I guess. I don't know.
Oh my god, the day before.
Damn, I thought that thing had been canceled a long time ago. I didn't know they were still working on that.
Apparently, they were still working on that. Yeah, and they decided to scrap it. So,
oh, that fucking sucks.
Yeah, and the last thing I have is Movie Watch.
I need like a heads up on this show.
That was the heads up.
You need to be ready. Movie Watch. You need to be.
There.
Dumbass.
Sophie Turner has been injured on the set of the new Tomb Raider movie, and that has postponed production.
You're gonna be fucking kidding me!
Yeah, it's supposedly a minor injury, but they're giving her time to recover, likely because of the nature of stunt work and all that on set. It's a good idea to let an ankle or wrist or whatnot heal up right to avoid further injury.
That's respectful.
Push it out a little bit.
I'm gonna ask probably the stupid thing, but I don't know who that is.
She was in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, she's going to play Lara Croft.
She's in Game of Thrones, and she has not broken out much beyond that. But she is the new Lara Croft.
Yep.
Nice.
Sans.
Oh, hopefully she heals better.
Yeah, but yeah, that's all the news I have.
Cool, Aki, you got anything?
No,
nothing.
And if I did, I can't think anymore right now. So
I did find something else. Unless Jacob, it's on your list. Were you going to talk about the Xbox Fanta cross promotion?
Nope.
What the Fanta?
Want the Fanta. They are teaming up with Xbox instead of Mountain Dew. Coke's jumping in this year. You're going to be able to pick up special edition Fanta with QR codes that will unlock Xbox-themed interactive challenges. Completing challenges will reward things like a Halo Spartan armor that's orange-themed, a 1966 Toyota Sports 800 Fanta edition in Forza Horizon 6, a town portal, XP tokens for Call of Duty, a mount in World of Warcraft. You could even win big prizes like an ROG Ally, Series XRS controllers, Game Pass. So I am going to be switching over to Fanta for a couple months. Bring on the strawberry.
I don't think I've ever had a Fanta.
If you're big on caffeine, that stuff doesn't have it, so...
I don't get is it free? Is it caffeine free or just low in caffeine?
Caffeine free.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's one of the few that will let that we let our kids drink like whenever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The closest thing I've ever had to a Fanta is a Crush, and I have a feeling that's not very close to it.
It kind of is. Orange Fanta, Orange Crush.
It's orange.
They also have grape, strawberry, pineapple, and they're going to have a sour cherry for this event.
Oh,
well, that actually doesn't sound that bad.
I think that's the Diablo one, too. So, yeah.
Very nice.
Jacob, what kind of news do you have?
I don't.
Nothing.
Nothing really. I mean, the only thing that I got that I think we talked about earlier was that the Super Mario Galaxy movie has premiered, and the press got to see it, and they're not giving it great reviews.
Wait, essentially, hold on. It's Movie Watch. There.
But we already played that.
Yeah, I know.
It's another Movie Watch segment.
What are we doing?
Okay.
There's another one.
Anyway, the general consensus among critics is that it's full of references and like little Easter eggs all over the place, but very little substance.
What movie is this? I'm sorry.
Super Mario Galaxy. Pay the fuck attention.
Hey, I said I was sorry. God.
God, it's the only video game movie out right now. Oh my God. Actually
that's not true. I didn't even know that one was out yet.
Oh yeah, Exit Eight came out. That's right.
Don't make me start playing my new fascination of Will Ospreay's theme, or I'll take his theme and just put random other sound clips in, like.
Do it. I like that actually a lot.
Oh shit! I forgot Mortal Kombat 2 comes out next month.
As long as it has another fight between Scorpion and Sub-Zero, I'm good.
I mean, it probably will, but it's Carl Urban as Johnny Cage, so I've got high hopes for it.
After watching the first one, I don't have high hopes, but
I didn't watch that last one. I need to go back and watch that one. That was what, like 3 years ago, something like that.
Two or three, yeah.
I didn't mind that one. I enjoyed the last one that came out.
Yeah, I liked it too. It's good that, you know, Mortal Kombat decided like which route it was going to go and has stuck with it. Like the Ultraviolet.
We have a conundrum. Someone just redeemed Hydrate and I don't have an open drink. I don't know what to go with.
Drink your piss.
No.
What are the other options?
Tonight's options, we have Baja Blast.
Drink your
Baja Blast Cabo, Orange Coke, Mountain Dew, Dragon Fruit, or the Kickstart with Pineapple, Orange, Mango.
Jesus.
Dragon Fruit. I fucking love Dragon Fruit.
You could fillet yourself.
No.
Drink that.
I mean, to be fair, Baja Blast would basically be that with how much of it he probably drinks.
Jacob.
Go fuck yourself!
I would if I could. Oh yeah, Joe, speaking of sodas and crap, you know how Mountain Dew or Baja Blast became the official drink of MLB this summer?
Okay.
Oh, you didn't? Okay, you didn't know that.
I'm sure you mentioned it and I forgot.
So there's a website that you could go to and sign up for, and if anybody hits a home run over 420 feet this year, the next day you can like go into just about any store and get a free Baja Blast.
Nice.
Yeah, my oldest kid has gotten 2 bottles so far.
Man, if only Joey Boof was a real baseball player, your kid would have so much free soda.
God help him.
That drives me nuts. You can have Cam as a first name in MLB The Show, but you can't have Cam as a last name with audio in MLB The Show. So they only recorded it as a first name.
Huh.
So I can't have Joe Cam. So for years I would have Joe Daddy. This year while browsing through the names, I saw Boof. So I was like, Joe Boof. No, that doesn't have the right ring to it. Joey Boof. There we go. Joey Boof was born. He is I believe, 4 foot tall, 220 pounds, and he hits 3 home runs a game like a motherfucker.
Is that a good number?
Yes.
Okay. That's an amazing number. Like, if a player got an average of like 2 hits per game, that would be incredible.
Yeah. Okay. Like a home run a month, it'd be like right home to mom about it.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. That's only like 4 home runs a year. That's not very impressive. Maybe a home run a week.
Look at us. Would either of us get a home run a week?
No.
I wouldn't be able to run the bases, but I wouldn't be able to run the bases, but you know, I could probably whack one.
It goes deep into right field. You're like, nope, I'll take the out. Just wave it off.
Deep into right field, I just roll around the bases. Get on like a power scooter. He's fat.
That was perfect.
I told you I have a lot of those.
Ow.
You surprisingly do.
Like that. Dude, we have a full server. 8 of them.
Jesus Christ.
I even have one for Aki. Tits!
Yes. Good.
I don't know why, but I was expecting that to just yell bitch at me, but... No. I do approve of tits more, so fair. Nice.
Grant, any news on your end? Any fun news to chat about?
I do. I have some news.
What you got?
I have some stuff. I have another movie. You gonna play that frickin' thing again?
We got another
movie. Another movie? Yes. No, I mean, I don't care. I mean, you have to be you have to be consistent, Joe. You gotta be consistent. So,
I mean, if I have to be,
here come the horns.
Movie watch. There.
What? I just picture you as like a carnival barker. You know, you've got like the outfit and the mic, and you're like trying to get people into the movie watch. So the back rooms movie.
That's gonna be a new fucking theme, isn't it? God damn it!
What? Well, it is now. The Backrooms movie now has an official trailer. This is the Backrooms thing's been going on for a long time, but Kane Pixels was a YouTuber, a very young YouTuber that sort of brought it to the mainstream and got people freaked out with his like amazing blender effects and whatever. So he was poached by A24 to make an actual Backrooms film, and I don't know what to think about it. Because it's like
pretty damn cool.
It does. It's a real movie with real actors that talk and do things. So it's very different than the traditional sort of vibes based stuff you see in all the Backrooms footage and games and all that. But it's a real movie and it comes out this summer, I think, right? I think, or maybe it's May. It might be soon, regardless. So yeah, A24 has put out a Backrooms movie. Weird. So you saw it. Jacob, what do you think?
I think it looks pretty damn creepy.
Yeah.
It does. Like, I don't know whether it's going to be like, you know, pee your pants worthy, but
your pee.
It looks like it's going to be sufficiently creepy. So between that and Exit 8, I think we've got some good liminal horror coming out.
Yeah, I would much rather those get the movie attention than just another, you know, gun-toting zombie boring movie, you know. I don't know, the kinds of stuff they normally do with video games. So yeah, neat. So that's a thing. And then there's rumor stuff for Nintendo. I don't know if this, do you guys report on rumors in the news segment? I don't even know.
Sometimes
if you do that or not.
For what, movies?
No, for games. I just like, there's a pretty substantial rumor about there being an Ocarina of Time remake slated for this year. And then also a potential remake of Super Metroid by,
ooh,
Mercury Steam, who did Dread. So
that would make me,
I would be into happy. Either of those things. What's that?
I said that would make me very happy.
Both of those would make me very happy. So I don't know, I'm hype about it. I think that'd be a lot of fun. I don't think Ocarina of Time, it's fine. I'm one of those ones that just thinks Ocarina of Time is fine, but there's just a lot about it that hasn't aged well. I would like some modern touches added to Ocarina of Time, personally, but I'm sure that's sacrilege. I also like don't care.
Round edges.
What's that?
Round edges.
Yes, sure. Why not? Why not some round edges? I'll be fine with it. The other thing, this is actual news, but I've been in Darksiders mode for the last while. I went through 2, I went through Genesis, and I tried 3 again. I still don't like it. But they've announced a remaster of another remaster of Darksiders, the first one, for
what?
PS5,
oh, Xbox Warmastered Series X. For, yeah, I think it's just a current gen up resed port.
Like, it is.
I don't think there's anything new to it.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like, you know, there's better lighting or whatever. It looks good. It looks really good. I just don't know. They probably like HDified some textures and it's probably running at 4K and all that. But I don't know. I think it's like $29 or something, which feels very steep. But Darksiders is like one of my top, it's my favorite games of all time. And it's the one that I haven't gone through yet again. So I will be buying it. I do hope there's an upgrade path for those that own the old one. They did that with the second Darksiders game. They have an upgrade path for a few that previously purchased it. So I hope there will be one. $10-$15 bump just to get the really, really good version. And I cannot wait to play that game again. So one of the better Zelda games ever made, in my opinion. And that's it. That's the news.
I thought of a piece of news thanks to that news.
Hey.
Go back to me for like a split second.
Oh, do we have to?
Is it a movie?
No.
Okay, fine.
Can I play the intro anyway? But it is
Nintendo-based. Sure.
No, I'm not going to.
I like the intro, so go right ahead. Nintendo has managed once again with their lawsuits with Palworld to get fucked.
Right.
They have had 2 of their patents removed in Japan already. And they had one that they submitted and got through on the U.S. And now the U.S. has looked into it. It's like, I don't know. Because this stuff's been in games before your games existed. So they haven't taken it away yet, but it looks like they're going to lose yet another patent because they're greedy cunts. It amuses me.
I can tell.
Yeah. That's it. That's
one day Nintendo's going to be like, should we give these guys a listen? Greedy cunts. Maybe not.
It's not like they don't know that they are. So,
all right. Should we move on to our batch of reviews for the week?
Sure.
The batch.
Let's do it.
They're on the batch.
Let's do the monster bash.
You're the top of the batch, Grant. You excited?
Anyway, I'm topping the batch, yeah.
You are.
The batch on top. Sweet.
Topping the bill, baby.
Let's do it.
First game to talk about tonight is Screamer, developed and published by Milestone. It released March 26, Series X and S and Xbox PC, PS5, Steam and Epic for $59.99. Longing, ambition, vengeance, everyone has a reason to enter the Screamer tournament and no one's backing down. Join the competition and race side by side with fearless drivers, ready to push past every limit to chase what they believe in. Grant, what is Screamer? And really, what is it? Because I've had my eye on it for months and I don't know what the hell it is.
Yes, understandable. Well, Screamer is a reboot, for one. It was a series of games back in the 90s made by this company called Graffiti. They changed their name to Milestone later, and Milestone still makes racing games. They make the MotoGP games. They make the ride games, all the Monster Energy stuff, like... They made some WRC games, so they're still around, and they launched... The original Screamer came out in 95. The 3 Screamer games that came out were like PC exclusives, you know, like early 3D games that were kind of modeled after the Sega Rally arcade games, stuff like that. And for whatever reason, they brought it back. They have brought back Screamer and have changed a lot about it. It used to be just like an arcade-inspired racing game. Now it is a very anime-forward racing game with very complex controls. It's very peculiar, and I'll do my best to explain sort of how it works, but they've changed a lot about it. It is leaning into a Japanese aesthetic, but not in just the racing scene way. It's got a whole lot of like sci-fi. It's got a lot of Tokyo in it. Other than that, very little in common with the old series. It's got enough... Okay, I don't watch a lot of anime. I don't really I played through neon white, like neon white.
Ton either. You're not alone.
Well, neon white, I just had to skip through it. I just couldn't handle it. I couldn't handle the animeness of it. I just wanted to do the speed running, you know. But this game, I really wanted to. This is a triple A arcade racing game with a premium price tag. It's a $60 game, and I really wanted to experience everything they had in here. They've clearly spent some time on it, spent some money on it. It's a number of different characters from different parts of the world, and in the game's lore, everyone has a chip installed where you can understand every language in the world. So everyone actually speaks their own language in the cutscenes, which is really fascinating. It's kind of like Star Wars, where all the aliens speak their own language, and no one ever answers in the same language. They answer in their own language. You know what I'm talking about? It's really weird. So
there are subtitles for everything.
Subtitles for everything. And, you know, I assume this has actually made a localization a lot easier because there wasn't the need to localize. So it's kind of smart. It's just a lot. I will say it's all very long. It's very convoluted. There'll be entire episodes that don't even have racing. They just have conversations. It's probably just because it's not really my bag. I don't think that the writing is bad in particular. It's just lots of drama, lots of subplots, and it's all kind of not in service of the racing. There'll be an argument, and then all of a sudden they race each other, or there's a car upgrade and then you race, but you're always racing and it has nothing to do with the story. So I think for people that are kind of into this kind of storytelling, they may enjoy it, but it does not help the racing at all having this kind of convoluted story as a part of it. As far as the racing goes, the main thing that makes this game peculiar is its drifting. So there was this game called Inertial Drift. It came out about 4 or 5 years ago. This game is essentially borrowed Inertial Drift's drift mechanic. I can't find another game that did it, but Inertial Drift did it first. You steer with the left stick, but you steer very tamely. You're not whipping your car left and right. It's your car is very heavy. And what you end up doing is steering a bit with the left stick, and then you use the right stick to control the back of your car. The right stick will swing the butt of your car out. So if you're coming towards like a sharper curve, you turn to the left with the left stick. You swing the butt of your car out to the right with the right stick, and you initialize a drift. And then it's a matter of like sort of working with both sticks to kind of keep a racing line or bump into other cars or whatever. And it's almost peculiar.
Like the dual stick controls in the Monster Jam games. Doesn't it sound like
right?
It, Jacob? Of course, Jacob.
Because they have like, do they have like the four wheel?
Sorry, what?
Exactly. I said that it sounds like the dual stick driving in the Monster Jam games, how you drive in this one.
God.
Because they have monster trucks have four wheels.
No, I remember Inertial Drift. That it was very much preferable to the Monster Jam ones.
Yeah, I don't know how. I know that the monster trucks have four wheel steering, but I don't know how you if you use both sticks to do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sucks. Interesting. Oh yeah. Well, I mean, if I could vote for I think the problem with Screamers is that the camera is really close to the car, and when you swing your butt out, you swing that car wide to one direction. Inertial Drift, your car changes and maneuvers in a different way, but it isn't nearly as dramatic, I think, as Screamers, and your car is gigantic in Screamer. It's just a different vibe. But yeah, that's not all. In addition, every time your gear gets to rev in the red, you hit a button to manually shift up. You don't have to, but you gather boost by doing that. So you have to kind of keep an eye on the gear you're in on one side of the screen while you're working with the sticks. And then on top of that, when you've built your boost up, you then can use the drift button to initialize a timing-based sort of a Gears of War ammo reload minigame to boost your car. And then as you play, combat is introduced where you charge up entropy to then ram into people and blow them up using the buttons on the other shoulder buttons. It gets weird because you have to use both sticks at the same time. You never ever use face buttons for anything. It's all fingers. It's all shoulder buttons. So it's very complex. I don't think it's necessarily. I don't think it's necessary to be as complex as it is, but this is sort of where they've chosen to introduce depth in the racing. And it's interesting. It doesn't always succeed, but it is something that's completely different than any other racing game I've played. I will say, so there's like the main story mode. There's other racing modes. There's like score attacks and time trials and individual races and checkpoint stuff. But there's the problem is that there's not really, if you don't want to go through the story of this game, there aren't like championships. There aren't cups. There aren't collections of tracks. You just sort of pick a race, play the race, and you're back on the menu. So there isn't sort of a progression in anything but the story, which is a little disappointing. But if you want to race a certain way, you can create a race with any rules you want and play that way. And it does have 4-player split screen as well as online, which is always welcome. You don't really see that much anymore.
Did you get to dip in the online at all?
I did just a little bit, yes. And oh my gosh, everyone's great. I mean, is that surprising? I mean, I think like people, this is the kind of game that it isn't too difficult to wrap your head around it, but it really takes a lot of time to kind of master it. And I definitely got owned by everyone that I played. But it is cool to be able to
play this online. I would do awful.
I mean, yeah, but you all do it first. But this is a game that you can go pretty deep with, I think, in terms of like learning how to handle drifts. And then all the characters have their own sort of perk associated with their car. All the cars are basically the same, but there are perks associated with the characters that give you some different abilities. The graphics are just incredible. It's got a beautiful look, unbelievable soundtrack. It's got a combination of like kind of poppy metal, EDM, some dub stuff. It's got like happy hardcore in here. It's like crazy energy. When you start a race, it doesn't go 3-2-1-0. This lady gets on the mic and says, like a shooting star, and there's a pause, and then she screams, burn. I can't do this justice. She yells, burn. That is your indication to hit the gas pedal. I mean, it's just nothing but like complete cocaine. And the menus reflect that. The menus are very cool and very Persona-like. I mean, they really put money into this game. I think they came up with their idea for their control scheme and just added and added and added to this game. It feels like it had a limitless budget in terms of the options available, the slickness of the menus. Yeah, it feels really optimized. It really just comes down to, are you into this kind of racing or not? Do you appreciate the complex arcade racing? It is very different than anything else that I've played. And there are some accessibility options, but it's mostly not related to... It doesn't make the racing any easier. It's got colorblind mode. It's got remapping the controller and sensitivities and motion control stuff. But when it comes down to it, you are two-sticking these cars. And it's a very odd thing to feel like you're playing a game that has rails but doesn't have rails. It's kind of strange. But I think the package is about as polished as it could be. For me personally, I tend to enjoy inertial drift a bit more than this. I feel like it's just a bit heavy and a bit cumbersome. But I'm not done with it. I still want to get some time in with it and hope that I can kind of grapple with it just a bit more. I want to win some online races and see if it really clicks with me, because it hasn't quite yet.
Makes sense. I guess it is time to talk price on this one. It is a full $59.99 game. What are your thoughts?
This is a tough one. I don't believe there's a demo for this game. I think it would make sense for them to do one. I feel like if you are an arcade racing junkie and you're into games that prioritize drifting, then I feel like this would be a lot of fun. I do think that $60 for this, $60 for what really is just set dressing and everything around the gameplay, does feel a bit high. So if you're not already kind of into the anime and into this kind of racing, then it would probably be more of a try it. Myself, I probably would have been happier paying closer to like $40-45 for this, as opposed to the full $60 for this. So mileage may vary. Let's hope they come out with a demo soon so you can give it a shot. But yeah, that's my feeling.
All righty. That is it for you. Are you going to stick around or are you heading out?
Yeah, I want to hang. I want to hear this. I might have to drop a little early, but I do want to hear about the final lap stuff. I'm in the racing zone at the moment, so I'm excited to hear about that one.
Very good. Well, it's a couple of games in between there, because next up we've got Dragonkin the Banished. developed by Echo Software, published by Nacon, released March 19th, Series X and S, PS5, and PC for $39.99. Dive into Dragonkin the Banished, a world corrupted by the blood of dragons, where evil creatures rise from the entrails of the earth. Choose one of the legendary hero classes, each with a single mission: hunt down and destroy the draconic creatures. Each battle brings you closer to your ultimate goal, finding and eliminating the terrifying dragon lords. Experience an epic adventure and forge your legend with the blood of your slain enemies. Aki, tell us about your time in Dragonkin the Banished.
Okay. So in this world, it is set that basically God created a handful of dragons that were supposed to shape the universe and stuff, and they all became a bunch of corrupt jackasses. So all the other races decided to get together and kick the shit out of them because they're evil. And the races, ironically, are all almost exclusively require dragons to exist, which is kind of amusing to me. There's a knight who's part of some holy order that's there to banish the evil dragons. And then there's someone who's half dragon by blood, who does magic and is my personal favorite character type, because they have a whole bunch of homing little missiles that they fire at people, and it's great. Then there's the berserkers, who have drank dragon blood and it has fused with them, providing they survive, and they get power from the dragon's blood. And then the last one is another ranged combat, who is the nomad, and they ride half dragons or something like that into battle and around the world and such. And so you have two guy characters, both of them are the melee folks, and then you have two female characters, and they're the ranged folks. So all of them have their own set of abilities. You start off playing as like max leveled characters of all four of the different groups, and then you create your own character after that prologue, so you know basically what abilities they're going to have, which is pretty nice. There are some that aren't shown in those characters, because you get to switch out different abilities, because while you're doing combat, and sometimes as rewards and stuff, and occasionally found in chests, you basically get little puzzle-like pieces that you place, and they give you different abilities and modifiers occasionally, stuff like that. So you might have a two-piece piece, for lack of a better word, and it might have a special ability in one, but it might also have like a attack up. And any of them you place in this grid, anything that can affect that it's placed next to increases its abilities. So, yeah. There's a level up mechanic for upgrading abilities. There's also leveling up both yourself and your little wyvern, which you get to pick up right after the prologue, which is just a tiny little dragon that follows you. There's four of them, and you can switch them out as you see fit in the city. There's an ice one, a toxic one, a fire one, and I think the other one's electricity? And, yeah, they all get to level up. There's four different paths for them to level up into. Each one, you see what two stats that they increase. So, for instance, for the ice one, there's ice power, there's attack damage, there's armor, and a couple others that I don't remember because I just didn't care. Because really what you want to do is, hey, can you hit hard? Why don't we make you hit harder? That's what you want to go for, realistically speaking. And then you have much the same for your own character. And as you get past certain points that you've put into each one of these abilities, you get new bonuses added to you. For instance, there's one bonus that I have that gives me like 7% extra gold every time I collect gold, where I have like a 10% extra attack speed, things like that. And yeah, you just pick and make one of these characters. You don't really get to modify them like how they visually look or anything. You just choose it, and you start playing. Occasionally you'll find armor, weapons, stuff like that, and chests are for enemies that you drop. And they all do change what your character looks like, which is really cool. Eventually, you'll find an area in the city, because you're upgrading the city as well, through finding just upgrade tokens, more or less, around the various areas in the world. But once you level up enough, you open up a shop that you can sell your armors and weapons and stuff to, and that unlocks the ability for you to transmog everything to look like the stuff that you've sold if you so desire, which is nice. So you can have pretty gear as you want it, even if it had worse stats. Now it doesn't matter. Woot. And yeah, there's a bunch of difficulties for this game. It starts off easy, medium, hard, and then I think it goes to very hard, and then there's levels 1 through 5 of another difficulty, then another difficulty, and then I believe it's Cataclysm, which is 1 through 5 as well, and then there's Armageddon or Abyss or something like that, which is only 1. So each one of them does tell you what extra stuff you get, how much more damage enemies do, how much more health they have, how much more experience you get. At certain difficulties, you can get better gear as well. So there's legendary and dragon gear that you can get, and those only drop on higher difficulties. So, yeah. Joe, what are your thoughts on it?
Because I need a breather. I am having a blast with the game. I went into this hoping for some kind of substitute to, like, keep my Diablo fix going until the Diablo expand. You okay over there?
Yeah. I just keep getting a lot of snot and stuff going down my throat, and it's hard to breathe because of that.
Yeah, because the hearing noises, and I'm just worried about you.
Okay.
I am with the barbarian character in this game, and within like an hour I had a straight up Diablo 3 whirlwind barbarian that did jump attacks, and I am in heaven. I am slicing and dicing through everything. I'm not even on easy difficulty because it's Diablo. You don't want that. You get shit loot. I am on the tier above very hard.
I'm higher up than you are.
Eternal or something like that.
I don't remember the names of them, sadly. There's too many.
I know I'm like 4 or 5 up. There's a good number up. I don't like it to be too hard because I still want to be able to manage the game. And the game is manageable. And it played really well online. We had a little bit of a hiccup finally figuring out how to get the online game working.
Yeah, that is unnecessarily complicated.
Yeah, having a joint city is definitely a little bit complicated, but once it's set up, you know, it flows
too well.
Yeah, it works well enough, and it's cool that you and multiple others can all contribute to the same town.
Yeah, and it's not just a little bit. Like, you can have 4 people in your party to go out and do your adventures and quests and shit. 50 people can be part of your city, though, helping it get stronger and better. And you all share loot, if you so desire, because there's a loot box that you can find in there that you can just play stuff, and anyone can go in there, see what's in there, and grab whatever they need and drop whatever they don't need anymore, stuff like that. So it's pretty cool.
As for the actual loot in the game that gets dropped, it is individual drops. So if I get a legendary drop, Aki can't take it.
Yep. However, we don't always get drops from the same place. Like, if there's a chest, when Joe opens it and he gets whatever gear he gets, I can still open that chest. It still exists on my screen, so I'm still opening it and getting my own stuff. However, from enemies, that is luck-based on who drops what, some of the things he sees on his screen aren't on mine.
It drops just like it would in any other game. It's, you get your own loot in whatever other way. The deluxe edition, there is a deluxe edition of this game that comes with, it's a blood scales edition, comes with some armor pieces. I don't think it was worth the extra $10 that I dropped for the extra armor. You might like it. You might be into those designs, but I don't know. I could have done without it. They also have special cosmetics for like a trail that follows you, your town portal, your gravestone. None of these I could fucking preview. It's just like, pick 1 through 5. What's it look like? Fucking find out.
Well, that's a shame.
Yeah, so I would like have to set one for my trail and then run around a bit, see what it looked like, try another one, run around a little bit. I don't know if it's been updated since launch because I haven't gone back to that menu since because I don't want to. It frustrates me and annoys me. I did get Twitch drops. They have a Twitch drop you could get through there with a cool little tombstone and a town portal. $40 on it. I'm happy with my purchase. I straight up purchased this one. This wasn't a handout to me. You got the review copy on this one. You got to check it out. I think it was worth the money I paid for it. What do you think about this game at $40?
I think if you've ever wanted to play like a Diablo style game, I think this is a good one to step into. The difficulties aren't too bad. Like, these aren't usually my style of games, and I'm playing on one of the hardest difficulties on this. And I'm like level 16. I am kicking all of the ass, and it feels really good. So I think if you've wanted to try one of these style games, this is definitely a good one to pick for that, because it is really nice. For everyone who's already a fan of these, this is definitely a game to get. This is a fantastic fucking game.
All right. Up next is Mega Man Star Force Legacy Collection, developed and published by Capcom, released March 21st, Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, PC, $39.99. It is the year 2200X, and the world has seen rapid advancements in wave technology. Our protagonist, 11-year-old Geo Stellar, refuses to go to school as he mourns the disappearance of his astronaut father. One night, Geo is at the observatory gazing at the stars as he usually does. Suddenly, his transfer picks up a signal from space, and he's hit with a powerful electric shock. When he finally comes to, an alien with an electromagnetic wave body called Omega X is standing over him. Jacob, what's going on in Mega Man Star Force Legacy Collection?
So first off, I'm very thankful and glad I got to review this. Because this is the first time I've ever gotten to play any of the Star Force games. Way back when I was a poor college student, I used an emulator for some of the Battle Network titles, but by the time Star Force came out, I was out of that kind of stuff, and I had an Xbox at that point, so I was actually now paying for my video games, and so this was really interesting for me because, as I said, this is the first time I got to experience it, and it also brought back like a ton of memories for me too of like that time period where it came out, because I kind of forgot that Mega Man for a few years took almost like a Pokemon kind of identity with the games, because they both Battle Network and Star Force they both divvied up the games into two or three different versions, and like which version you got was kind of like, you know, almost like a starter Pokemon. Like you could get one that's more fire based, you could get one that's like this like water dragon kind of thing, and then there was also like a nature more nature one. But with Mega Man Star Force, for those like myself who are real unfamiliar with it, you're playing as this kid named Geo whose dad got lost in outer space, and there's this, I don't even know how to explain it, like robots exist, but then like we have these EM aliens or FM, I don't know, everything's connected through EM waves, and it's just like these FM alien kind of guys have started beaming down to Earth, and you get one, and it turns out like this thing's Mega Man, and so it's up to you to battle all of these like incoming computer programs, like I guess it's what you'd refer it to, like I don't know, it's weird. Anyway, if you're familiar with like the view in the Battle Network series, like the parts where you're running around in the neighborhood in the cyber world, they're going to be very similar. Beautiful pixel art. I really love just watching like the cyber world area because it's always animated, and there's always like, you know, bright lights flashing and stuff like that. And because I'm a toddler, I'm entertained easily.
Yes, you are.
But so Battle Network had its, like, the way that it handled its fights and battles was on a grid kind of thing, and you had a like a 9-box square. And you move around inside those boxes, and you would decide which attacks you were going to use, but like by pulling cards from your current hand at the time. And like you could have like defense cards, offensive cards, like some of them would restore health, all that kind of stuff. There was even like,
you know, what would really help people understand this? If the Mega Man Battle Network collection was released on Xbox for all those Xbox gamers playing Star Force for the first time, not knowing what the hell's going on, Battle Network would help a lot.
That's true. And it's funny because Mega Man EXE actually shows up in the first game.
Give us Battle Network.
I know. I wish they would. But,
I was really hoping it'd be a stealth drop with this.
I'm hoping that like sales of this are good enough that Capcom's just like, all right, maybe we should go release it on Xbox.
But anyway.
Yeah. So it was done on a grid thing. I explained like how you like shot your weapon or used defenses and like shields and stuff like that. So Star Force, instead of having that like grid that you kind of looked at almost like a Plants versus Zombies kind of way, this one puts that grid into a third person view, and you're stuck on a single line, that can go left or right. And your enemies just like move all over. They have like the same attacks that they did in the Battle Network games. For a point of reference, there are some enemies that I'm not familiar with, so I'm assuming that they're like exclusive to the Star Force series. You just have to learn how to deal with them and stuff like that. And one of the really nice things in this is that there are assists for players who aren't as familiar and stuff like that. And you can actually toggle Mega Man's health. You can toggle how powerful your Buster is. You can even make it so you like you just straight up can't die. And like you're there like to enjoy the story.
Modern day bonuses.
It is so nice. Cause I remember there were times, playing Battle Network, I'd be like stressing. Cause like, all I want to do is just get, Mega Man.exe. Like I just need to get him to an exit. Like, please, for the love of God, don't make me run into any, like, I don't want any more random encounters, please stop.
Here's a random battle.
No. And then like the game's over.
Yep, you die.
But it is so nice. And so it's just like, I'm getting to experience these games for the first time. I'm having a ton of fun. And it's just like, this is great. Like, I'm so happy that Capcom has brought this to like 20, like, heck, it's like, it's pretty much 20 years later after the first one first came out in Japan. And it's just like, it's great that these are getting new life, and I am looking forward to talking about 2 and 3 next week.
Indeed, this is a big package. 7 games needs to be split up between 2 weeks, so we will have part 2 of this conversation next week. What did you have to say?
Well, I mean, like, yeah, it's 7 games in the collection, but there were really only 3 Star Force games. I know,
it's 3 with different versions, but yeah. For their metrics, it's 7 games and additional features. It's
true. Yep.
So, any final thoughts before we move on? Because we will save the final verdict for next week.
So far, I'm having a shitload of fun.
And bring Battle Network to Xbox, please. Thank you.
Yes. Oh my God. Please bring any other Mega Man titles just please bring them to the Xbox.
We have everything but Battle Network and Legends, and no one has Legends.
Well, I mean, we need Legends too. We
have literally everything else.
That's been released. Like, you know how much the resale market is for those games on PS1? It is obscene.
Yes, I'm sure Capcom is very aware of it too. But anyway, next
that
up,
is money that they are walking away from.
I'm sure they know that. I'm sure they've seen the figures.
I wanted to make a joke about action figures, but I couldn't come up with one quick enough.
I know. Next up, Nubiaphobia, developed by Tongo Bodor. Bree, you say the name. You're good at it.
Tongich Bodish.
How do you do that? Published by Sometimes You, released April 1st on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, $9.99 per platform. Solve the wacky point-and-click puzzles filled with horror and humor. Break the witch's curse on your home as you explore five distinct regions, each hiding a sacred key to unlock the village chest. Bree, what is Nubiaphobia?
So, Tongich Bodish is known for walking simulator-style adventures with gorgeous landscapes, but now we have, like, a completely different adventure. This is a point-and-click-style adventure. It's full of puzzles, and as the store write-up says, horror and humor. This is a Turkish developer, so I see some of the visual stylings in this fantasy world we have are related to the culture there, and, Our main character, Nubia, looks like she's drawn and colored by a young child, maybe. She's asked to go to her asked by her grandfather to go to the market to get chicken. So she toddles off to the chicken shop to get some and has to ask politely for chicken. And we see a hatchet come up over the live chicken's neck. And then we cut to a shot of our hero with blood being splattered across her face. All the while, some cheerful childlike music is playing in the background, and then we get back to Grandpa, blissfully ignoring the witch clearly attacking him, and just walk up to him and have a dialogue choice, like, is it yoga day? Here's the chicken. Or, can you believe that sucker gave me the chicken for free? So yeah, this game's not for kids. The humor is kind of dark and quirky, and at times the characters are aware they're in a story.
T for teen. Not too insane, so...
Yeah. But definitely not for little kids. There are just like dismembered bodies with blood leaking, bowels hanging, you know, from a tree. That's a whole thing. You get a key from that.
I do appreciate that the first feature on the game page is, despite the bright graphics, this game is definitely not for children.
Yeah. So yeah, in order to get rid of the evil witch, we have to go on a worldwide quest to find five keys hidden around the world so that we can open a chest in our village. Grandpa in his modest home has been hiding an airship somewhere, and this map to the keys that are the all-important witch-defeating artifact are not quite so bright. Nubia will have to go on a quest to find him. She seems a little dim. That's all I'm going to say about that. She's a little oblivious, but she makes it through. If somehow you've never played a point-and-click adventure game before, you have a cursor, and you move around, and you point and click on things. And you can click with the A button to talk or handle objects. You can hit X to look at things. You'll need to do a bunch of step-and-fetch quests, like the ninja will give you a ticket so you can give the souvenir salesman... And that way you can get a mug to give to the ninja with some tea in it and get a ninja star to kill the monster for its red blood to lure a bull to knock over a tree so you can get the undead wolf on the other side of a gap to shit out a key. And other convoluted quests. And then you can use items together in your menu bar that rolls down from the top when you hover over that area. And in true point-and-click form, sometimes I felt like I was throwing objects at the problem until something stuck. But thankfully, a lot of the interactions made a fair amount of sense, and they were hinted at pretty well in conversation and observational text. We meet a pretty colorful cast of characters, like a troll, Santa, the real Santa, and so the text would lead us to believe, and his very sharp-toothed reindeer. There's a ninja, a souvenir salesman, and a trash genie, to name a few. The art is really cute. It's like a combination of cut paper and pastel or watercolor drawings. The music changes with each area of the world, giving an idea of what part of the world you might be in. So, you know, like when you're in snowy land, there's like, you know, sleigh bell kind of stuff going on, or, you know, I don't know. There's fun instruments that they used in the, like a child's piano. It was some fun music. There are a few translation things like misspellings that I found in the game. Unless they were intentional for the quirky humor and all, I don't know. There were a few times where I felt like the cursor didn't interact well with the exit points, or the main character got kind of hung up on something, but overall the game worked like it was supposed to. The story really felt like it came from the mind of a child. Or more aptly, that the story is told through the eyes of a child. I think that's a better way to say it. But the humor is very adult. I was not expecting to see something like this out of this developer, and I'm very pleased that they gave a new game genre a go, because I had a pretty good time with this short point-and-click adventure.
Very cool. It is a $10 game, as sometimes you does. If you buy it on last gen for $10, you could get 50% off the current gen version. It does not work backwards, though.
Nope. Yeah.
So,
my verdict is, it was cute. I think the price is right for what it is. It's not the deepest or most inventive games in the genre, but it was very enjoyable, and I can give this a buy it.
Very good. And we don't cover many stacks anymore, as everybody knows. So when we do, it's something good. Next up, Arcade Archives 2 Final Lap, developed and published by Hamster, released March 25th, Series X and S, Switch 2, PS5, $9.99. Final Lap is a racing game released by Namco Limited in 1987 marked the dawn of the F1 boom in Japan. Set against the backdrop of that era, the title portrays the raw power of racing machines and the stoic world of professional competition. Experience nail-biting high-speed battles set on the legendary circuit as it was back then. Push yourself to the absolute limit where every tenth of a second counts, and give it everything you've got. Jacob, did you give it everything you've got?
I did, and I still failed.
I want to joke about us not getting everything that Hamster gives, but I don't know how to do it and not sound like a dick. So tell us about Final Lap.
So Final Lap puts you in a kind of like Formula One race car, and you have to drive around this course. I mean, it's a racing game. Apparently, like, this is like the sequel to Pole Position. Which I kind of didn't connect the two like together, from like the old Atari days, but okay. So you're just driving around, and of course, there's no automatic on this. So I was really screwed. which I mean, if you're doing Formula One, obviously you're not going to have automatic transmission, but whatever. Be forewarned, you are going to have to mess with putting it in low and high gear throughout, because obviously,
no.
this is more arcadey simulation than just like a straight arcade racer. You are going to have to like use the brake, let off the gas, like, you know, just so you can make these really tight turns in a really freaking super fast car.
This was the first game on Namco System 2 hardware and is a direct successor to Pole Position 1 and 2.
Interesting. Didn't know that.
Learning things.
So each race has four laps. If you have to manage what gear you're going in, because, you know, that'll slow you down. Running off the terrain or running onto the terrain will slow you down. Crashing into other cars will slow you down, but it doesn't seem to slow them down, jerks. So you have to manage all this kind of stuff and, of course, qualify for your laps, because, you know, you have to hit various checkpoints throughout the thing. That's where it ended for me. I have yet to make it beyond three laps. Like, I of the first race, this game is tough. Like, it is, it's addictive because it's just like, you know, like, when you fail as much as I have, like, you know the track, like, you know what you have to do, like, you know, like, this is where I have to, like, shift into low gear and then immediately go into high gear. Like, you know, it's like, you know what you need to do. It's just,
is it one of those games that would get you to pop another quarter in?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like, because I'm like, I'm convinced every single time that it's just like, I've got it the next one. I know exactly what I need to do. No, no, you're going to crap out on the third lap.
Like, all right. Well, it sounds like a mission accomplished in terms of gameplay to keep you coming back.
Yeah. End of, like, and also it's real interesting just like reading up like on the game itself in the game guide. And there are multiple modes, of course. This is an Arcade Archives title. They do make a note that there is no multiplayer. And any screens that say anything about multiplayer, you're just supposed to ignore. So, I mean, because I read up on Wikipedia originally, you could actually do a, like, you could hook up 8 of these machines and have people race against each other.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I know that. I think that would be kind of interesting because I mean, like, I've done like Cruisin' World and stuff like that where there was a bunch of machines, like, you know, all networked. But something like this where it's more simulation than arcade, like, I think that would be really interesting to see how it goes.
Have you ever done 4 GameCube Double Dash?
No.
Oh, that's an experience. Grant, you ever do 4 player or 4 GameCube Double Dash?
4 GameCube?
Yes, 4
GameCube. Hooking four GameCubes together. I don't understand what your words
are saying. Yeah, that's what he said.
Oh, with like 4 TVs? Like, yeah. A LAN party?
Yep. Nope. Yeah. You can do that.
I have not. So why would so you're doing that instead of doing two people per cart?
No, you have 2 people per cart with 4 TVs.
Oh, so 8 people playing total. Oh, that's rad. No, yeah. I've not done that. That's awesome. Wow. That shit's
awesome.
We just did 2 4v4 on 1 television. That was enough to make us yell and scream and throw shit.
Once ever at a 1UP Studios barbecue. We had like everything together and we had all the GameCubes and we linked them up. We also did a 4 TV 4 Sword Adventures.
Oh, very fun. Yeah, still never tried that.
So
I'll bet you had 4 Sword Adventures.
Final laps, $10. What do you think, Jacob?
Yeah, I think it's totally worth it. Like, it's really challenging, and I'm having fun, even though, aggravatingly, I still have yet to finish the first race.
Uh-huh. All right, we got 2 previews to talk about. First up is Cat Me If You Can, developed and published by Cosmic Stag Games. It's releasing Q3 on Steam. Cat Me If You Can is a charming and cozy game where you explore beautifully handcrafted black and white worlds, searching for hidden cats, oh, that's a Brie game, to photograph and bring their colors back into the world. Brie, shockingly, you're covering this one. Tell us about the preview of Cat Me If You Can.
So this is a different kind of hidden cat game. You have like a black and white 3D environments. You've got hidden cats inside, and then you have a camera to capture them and bring a little color into the world.
Carnage, hidden cats, of course.
Yeah, I know. The art is all comic style art, but in black and white. There's even like a pop, like a paper filter over the art. So you can see those little dot textures. And the landscapes are really imaginative with bridges and floating debris. And there's so much to explore. I was in awe of some of the stuff I saw. Like, it's just a really detailed environment. 3D, obviously, you're walking around first person, looking for hidden cats and other stuff. You'll need to walk through environments. You'll have to crouch and jump to navigate, and don't forget to look up. Seriously, don't forget to look up. You will miss a lot of things. And there's just seriously cool stuff everywhere besides just like the cats. This is also controller ready, so you can play.
Hold on one moment. We are getting.
What did I do? I don't know why.
Thank you, Lloyd, for raiding in with two folks. Welcome in. How is everybody doing? We are chatting about a preview for the game, Cat Me If You Can. And Jacob just bounced because he has kid stuff to do. I mean, he was attacked by sharks. He's attacked by cats.
Yes.
Cat Me If You Can. So what is Cat Me If You Can?
I was saying it's controller ready, so you can.
No, I got to interrupt you again because injury. Oh. Just gifted you a sub.
Aw, thanks, injury.
That's adorable.
That's nice.
Take
adorable
three,
is the go. Conversation we were having backstage before I got back on to talk about games. Anyway, controller ready. You can play this with keyboard and mouse or controller with ease. And relative buttons are clearly labeled in appropriate spots or also in the menu. Some cats will meow and give you a hint where they are in the space. You need to find all the cats in an area to progress. Oftentimes, there's like a counter in the top left of the screen that shows you how many in the area you have left to find. But there's so much more to this than just finding and photographing cats. You need to solve riddles and puzzles and find ancient artifacts to put into computers and make special cats manifest and find special keys to unlock doors so you can progress through the world. And sometimes you might have to find like a lever and insert it to make a water wheel move so that a blacksmith cat will show up to be photographed. Other times you might find a series of artifacts like a sword, a shield, and a helmet, and that'll get the Viking cat to show up on the map. And it's really quite clever. And there's even like side quests to finding a number of certain fish in the area or ingredients for a cat stew. And you can find that in your journal, and then that'll make special cats appear, and it'll tell you in your journal like what it does and who it'll bring up. It's very, very cool. The world reminds me of Viewfinder, but in black and white. It's like broken bits of landscape connected together in one world, and there's like computer tech and ancient artifacts combined. And then there's other scenes, I guess, or worlds that you can travel to, like Tabbyshire. And it's like a more medieval town, and you have like rivers and things around you and the water wheel and the blacksmith, and just it's like I'm really excited to see what other stuff comes out of that. And the cats are adorable, and they all have names, and you view them on bulletin boards later, and you get different technology like a tablet journal I mentioned, and there's a radar to help you find things, and that's what'll make the cats meow. And the music was relaxing but chill, but at times could be like uplifting and fun, like piano tunes and the like. For the overstory, I got this vibe that you were an evolved cat from the future going back in time through a time machine to capture historic things. So you're like going through these periods of time frozen, but you can still like walk around and photograph things unnoticed. I say frozen, but there's like plenty of movement in the game, like water and butterflies and leaves falling. And just maybe the cats appear frozen, like mid-stretch or something. I don't know how much of that is correct or that it matters, because this was just a fun game.
Very good. Well, we don't know when exactly it will be releasing. They just have a Q3 target for right now. Is this something people should wish list, follow, ignore? What do you think on this one?
Well, I just want to throw this out there. I hope this also comes to console. This was darling, and I want to play more. Wishlist on Steam. Keep an eye on this for console release in the future, maybe. Hey, I really, Silesia. Really like this one.
Silesia, you listening?
somebody, come pick up this game. Help get it everywhere. It's fun.
All right, next up, we have another preview of Escape the Baby Alarm. Developed and published by Julie Norman Bjornskov, releasing later this year on Steam, Escape the Baby Alarm is a cozy escape room-inspired puzzle game that explores the chaos and love of parenthood with warmth and humor. The game combines creative puzzles, narrative depth, and a relaxing gameplay experience, offering a unique and rare experience. Bree, tell us about Escape the Baby Alarm.
It is unique. I was a little like, I don't know, skeptical is not the word, but I didn't think I was going to enjoy this just based on the quick description, because the topic of conversation is about being a new parent, and that's like a nightmare for me. But this was actually, I'm glad I picked this one up to take a look at. It's a puzzle game about early stage parenthood, where you have to deal with the lack of sleep, a crying baby who needs near constant attention or effort, and it's all exhausting and putting you in this funky haze. And I would put this game in the category of something like A Little to the Left if it were about parenthood instead of a mischievous cat. So yeah, in between puzzles you'll have these little like comic strip style bits of story to tie it all together, that you scroll through using your mouse. And in the story, you'll encounter like an alien, you'll argue with anthropomorphized body parts, and juggle your sanity under sleep deprivation. Puzzles are things as simple as organizing your bottles into the right order by height of liquid, or arranging it so the decoration on the bottle lines up to be pretty. And then you'll have to match pictures on a diaper to help determine the best kind for your baby, or other products that match your style. And for the most part, the puzzles are fairly intuitive. The story bits give you context for the puzzles, and your surroundings give you clues. This is partly playable with a controller, but it's primarily a mouse game. And that, I think, it feels really tactile when you just play it with a mouse. But you know me, I'm a console player, so I always reach for that controller to see where we're at on a PC game. You hold the mouse in the direction you want the panels to move in a story section, or to switch objects around, you can just, you know, swipe. It's very easy, very fluid. There are a few keys you might use on the keyboard, like escape to get a hint. Oh, and the hints in this are great. They'll give you around 3 hints that are progressively more clear, and you just need to, if you just need to give up after that, you can get the answer told to you. So, but you get like several steps, and you can back out at any time. It's, I liked that part. That was well done. The art is all hand-drawn and often has animated parts. It's really bright and colorful, and it's just, it's funky. And, you know, that living in a haze, not quite sure what's real anymore because you're just so sleep deprived. It's good fun. The music is a bop. It's a mix of synth beats, and it's so fun. I think if you're a new parent and you've been through that experience recently, or you want a cute way to send this as like a cautionary tale to someone, it's like a cute look at that experience. I like the organizational puzzle nature of the game. So if you liked A Little to the Left or the subject matter of the game, I think you'll enjoy this one.
Very good. Another one we don't know when it's coming out. We just have sometime this year. Wishlist, follow, ignore. What should we do?
Yeah, there is a short demo out if you want to play for yourself, but I would say wishlist this for sure.
Very good. And finally tonight, we are going from baby watching to baby making, right, George?
SML After Dark.
Timestamps, Unconditional Love, and Timestamps, Lost Love, both developed and published by Mott Keys Games. Unconditional Love released January 2023 on Steam for $14.99. Lost Love, November 15th of last year, $19.99. Do you like boobles or breasticles, something that make your happy zone happier? Then it's time to stamp in for Timestamps with Timestamps, 2 stamps, 1 time, 1 conversation. Aki, take it away. Aki, it's porn time.
Uh-huh. Porn. I like porn. What about porn?
Now, where have you been?
Okay. Yeah, I was in the bathroom. Sorry. GG. My dad. Yeah, I thought I typed it in the right place. I typed it in whatever was there, and I didn't know it was there anymore. So, yay. Yeah, instead of being in planning, it was instead in our chat. I'm still blaming you, though.
I checked the timestamp. And it seemed like everything is kosher. So tell us about timestamps.
Okay. So this is two games in what seems like it's going to end up being a trilogy. Mostly because they just mentioned a third game, and I assume that's going to be the final one, I think, is what I read in it. But
this is a saga going on for ages.
Yes. The first one is Timestamps Unconditional Love, and the second one is Timestamps Lost Love. So the first one, it introduces you to your character, some schmuck who is about to start university on a basketball scholarship, and your parents apparently kicked the bucket, so instead now you're living with your mom's friend's family instead, and some other random schmuck that they decided to pick up off the side of the street, it appears. Why? I don't know, because they don't fucking get along. I have a feeling this was originally supposed to be your family, but because of the credit card situation, they switched it up. Because, like, the girl in the family that's with you, she's not their kid. She's not your sibling. And she is so antagonistic to literally everybody. I'm like, man, if someone was acting like that to me in my house, they wouldn't be in it anymore. I don't fucking care.
What kind of guest is that?
Yeah, and it's not like she's a kid. She's an adult. She's already in university. So I'd be like, nah, bitch, get the fuck up out this house. So that's why I believe it was probably originally in family and then got switched. Because that makes more sense. But yeah, so you're starting up university, and you and your friend Bacon, yes, that his real name's Hammond, which with part of it being ham isn't too much better than bacon, but yeah, he's a chunky nerdy shit, and he's like, hey, typecast. Yeah, basically. So he's like, hey, you need to come meet me, I got something really cool to show you, come to the park. And you're like, fuck it, I guess, fine, whatever. And you go there, and apparently the woman who's taking care of him, who isn't related to him either, he found nudes of her from back in the day and decides to share them with you for some reason. I don't get it. glad he did, because she's smoking hot, but don't know why he did. And then some bullies show up, and they're like, hey, fuck you, and steal them. And it very quickly draws into, hey, there's now a baseball bat next to you. Beat this motherfucker up for me, please. We're buddies. Beat him up. Make sure he doesn't fuck with effectively my mom. And you pound the dude's face in. And then you're told, hey, that baseball bat wasn't there earlier. I have a time machine. Dun, dun, dun.
I'm sorry. You've covered a lot of porn games. I got to cut in with this one with a, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking at first too. Apparently Bacon's dad was part of a government thing and was working on a time machine and disappeared mysteriously one day, and he found the machine down in their basement and read through all the specs and everything, figured out what it was, figured out how to repair it and everything. And he doesn't fully understand how it works, because, you know, he's basically a monkey who managed to put it together and is like, okay, this button does this. I'm good.
I'm not high enough for this review.
Yeah, fair. But the thing is, his time machine, he can't safely send you any further back than a day. And he's been doing this pretty regularly, apparently, trying to solve the issue with the pictures and the lady who's taking care of him. And he's like, you know, as many times as I tried it, everything ended up eventually coming down to you doing shit. I'm like, cool. So you're smart enough to figure out how to repair and function a time machine, and you're too stupid to figure out anything the fuck else. All right, cool. Well, fair enough, I guess. Maybe you're just an idiot savant. Who knows? And yeah. So you're sent. So for some reason, he decides he wants to send you back an entire day. I believe it was just to prove that he wasn't full of shit. And he's like, you know, anything that you do doesn't matter. This is more like I'm sending you 24 hours in the past in a different realm or something. So once it gets to the end of the day, you're going to come back here and none of what you did matters. It's not going to affect the now, which
I don't spits believe in the that. Face.
Yeah, that spits in the face of every concept of time machines. But, you know, hey, it is what it is. And yeah, so you go back and very quickly things start to get fucky wucky for you. You start seeing things that aren't there because you start seeing areas like glitch out where it's like normal and then suddenly it's in a different state. And you end up seeing Bacon's dad with a hatchet in his head in the neighbor's garage. Yay, that's good. Oh no. You also suddenly see yourself, you know, a weekish forward in time to having sex with the lady who's taking care of you. And you're like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. And then bam, suddenly you're back in your time. And you're like, dude, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Your dad was there dead.
I agree with that statement. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Is this the first game or the second? Which...
This is still the first game. It gets worse. So, yeah, you're dealing with all of that. And now I'm just going to kind of skip it forward some because I don't want to focus too much on the first game. But it's more of that y'all just trying to figure out what the fuck is going on. And
it's,
now
it's 3 years old.
Yeah, exactly. And now, you know, in the second game, you actually get sent back in time at a much greater distance because apparently a second version, a doppelganger of Bacon, has come in and shoved the sister character, Nika, into the machine and sent her back to who fucking knows when. Not 24 hours ago, that's for sure, though. So you get in there and you're like, motherfucker, you need to send me back right now. He's like, okay, you should be getting there around the time she did. Good luck. Turns out you were sent about 20 years difference from where she was sent, so now she's an older woman. She's a MILF. And she sees you, and she's like, oh, you motherfucker. I waited for you for years, you bitch. Because, again, she's a mouthy asshole, and I absolutely adore her for that. And then it very quickly becomes, you know, you're looking around, and suddenly, for some reason, you're enrolled in the university in the before times, you know, before you were born times. And you're like, wait, what? I've never been back this far. How am I enrolled here? And then you start meeting some of the characters, like Julie, who is the mom character, Heather, which is Bacon's mom's character. And both of them already know you and consider you their little hero. And you're like, I have never been this far the fuck back in time. How do you fucking know who I am? But you can't tell them that, because that would basically be telling them there's a time machine and they'd all think you're fucking crazy. So,
I already while you're think dealing this with, is crazy.
It is. It's batshit insane. I fucking love it. So, you end up coming across the old man neighbor who also had a time machine. He's in this time zone. He's like being all cryptic and shit. He's like, things have been put into motion, and now you have to actually do some things. I can't tell you what they are, because then things change. But I've made sure everything's going to go the right way. Trust me, bro. And the thing about this old guy is, the old guy had the time machine in the house. That's also where the dad had the hatchet in his head. It was that house. Also, this dude was filming Julie in present time, while she was diddling herself, like a little old pervert. So, like, you don't trust this motherfucker at all. And he keeps giving you no reason, because he doesn't tell you anything, because he's a dick. So, because you're not getting any help from him, you eventually get yourself pulled out with his help. And you're like, dude, you need to recalibrate the shit. Send me further back so I can get her before she spent 20 years there, because she doesn't want to leave anymore, because she has a fucking life now, and she's grown up, and she likes who she is now, and if we bring her back, she knows she's just going to turn right back in to her teenager self, none of this will have been a thing for her. So you need to send me back.
Already, none of that's a thing. It's just an alternate.
Exactly. Yeah.
Time travel alone. Like, it's such there's a so many questions.
Thing. Yeah. Yeah, this game's all over the place. But yeah, you basically, the first game is all about MILF heaven, and the second game is about, oh, MILF heaven, now see what they were like when they were in university, and you have to bang them all over again. Yeah. So basically everyone switches ages, because Nikita, who was, you know, in her 20s and in university, is now in her 40s, and all of the women that you've been banging in the present day were in, like, their 40s, 50s, whatever. Now they're all, you know, in university age now instead. So you've basically just flipped everyone's ages and you're still going out and banging the same people. It's great. But you keep finding things have changed when you come back to the current time, even though it's not supposed to. So things are just getting fucky-wucky and you're trying to figure shit out. And you're not exactly the brains of the operation. Bacon is, and Bacon's not exactly the brains of any operation. So, yeah. this does have one fetish that is one that I've not actually seen in a game yet before, and this one is a smoking fetish, because some people have those. I don't fully understand it, but you can turn that on or off. In the first game, I think it actually gets rid of some scenes if you don't have it on, whereas in the second game it just removes the cigarette from the scenes instead. So,
places it with a dildo.
Maybe. Who knows? Because I just play with it on, because I don't fucking care. It's not a fetish I have, but I also am not disgusted by it.
You're like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, people smoke and they got titties. I'm good.
You're like,
so, yeah.
That was horrible. Can we see that again?
Exactly. So, yeah.
Now, here's a sound clip you would love.
Because I'm about to eat that ass.
Yes.
So, with that in mind, what are your verdicts on these two games?
I think if you have a smoking fetish, this is hands down definitely a game for you, because I've never seen a game that actually really deals specifically with a smoke fetish. I think maybe I've seen like a side character or something that had a smoke fetish tint to them in some other games, possibly, but this is the main focus. I've never seen that before, so if you're into that, this is definitely for you. If you like porn games, these are pretty good. The story is a bit all over the place, because the main characters don't really know what's going on, so you as the player ends up not fully understanding either, which kind of bothers me, but I'm hoping as the third game opens up more, we'll get more of an understanding of what's going on as you're forced to actually understand it. So I'm
stay totally tuned, kids.
Huh?
I said stay tuned, kids.
Damn straight. Don't let your kids play it.
I knew you'd come.
Any other final thoughts?
Man, MILFs are hot, yo.
All right, and with that, we are done. Aki, Bree, Grant, thank you three for being here the whole time. Big thanks to Jake for being here and leaving partway through before. Grant, always good having you on, hanging out with us. You got anything going on coming up?
I'm going to VGMCon. I'll be here in a few weeks, and I'll be doing a panel on the history of pinball audio. At that, which is super fun. I'll have to record that so I can pass it on to y'all.
Very cool.
Your fellow pin brainiacs. And then I'll be doing a little bit of performing there, but not my own stuff, just hopping in on some percussion for things. So yeah, that's percussion. Cool. So I'm excited about that. Yeah, isn't that weird? I'm not gonna share who it's with yet, because it's a spoiler, but I was like not planning on doing anything, and then all of a sudden it was like, you want to play some percussion? And I was like, yes. So I'm gonna be beating on some shit. Nice. So that'll be fun. Be a good time.
Be pinball related?
No. Yes, everything is pinball related. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what we need.
You know it.
Grant, always a pleasure. Bree, always a pleasure. Aki, I don't know where the hell you are. Does anyone have any final words to end the show? All right, I guess. Hey, look who's back.
Sorry about that.
Show's over.
Oh. Okay.
Saddle up! Let's ride!